$1.10 a day wage. Throughout the month, the state National Guard had been called out to a number of mining towns to quell armed.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
once again. You're listening to the Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Casey, here with my co-host, Bill, who prefers to be called by the alias of Poche Noir.
Bonsoir, comrades. Poche Noir speaking. It's 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of the month, so this is October 3rd, or as is known to sans-culottes and communards, as the 12th day of the month of Vendémiaire in the year 232. And that intro was Stevie Wonder's You Haven't Done Nothing, and a better protest song has never been written since its 1974 release.
Oui, oui. But it's especially relevant to tonight's topic of climate change, since our elected officials have done nothing for so long despite the obviousness of the crisis. And that crisis is the right topic for October, this month for all things terrifying. We have a special guest tonight to discuss climate change, Patrick Robbins, our DSA comrade who, along with others, busts his hump over many years to finally get our own state legislature to pass the Build Public Renewables Act, the BPRA for short, as the means of getting New York State to show climate leadership rather than lethargy.
Again, let's give the standard disclaimer. The remarks made tonight reflect the opinions of whomever may be speaking them, whether it be Casey, myself, or Patrick, and not those of WGXC. Also, those remarks don't necessarily reflect the opinions of other members of the Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. Casey, Patrick, and I are just a couple of members of the DSA, and because we live in these here parts, we're a part of the Capital District's chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. There's no set political line to be towed by members of the DSA. DSA membership is welcome to all. And to be a DSA member, you do not have to be a strict Marxist, as
computer.
I am. And we also have another guest here, Casey. Casey, can you see it at the far end of the WGXC studio?
That hunk of junk sitting in that chair?
Junk indeed. That is the Capital District DSA's animatronic robot, the Solidaris 7000, now updated with the latest in artificial intelligence. It's been charging. I guess it's been charging for a while now, so I'm not going to go over and I'm going to try it out. Okay.
Quite a walk.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's all charged up, and so I'm just going to unplug it now. Huh, it's a two-prong plug. So let's hit the switch.
Oh, God, those eyes are really red. Why does it come with that?
All right, so let me go back to the soundboard. And we'll give Solidara a try.
I don't know about this, Bill.
Let's see. All right. So let me turn her on here for a second. All right. Okay. Solidara, could you come over, please, here? There is a question we'd like to ask you.
How may I be of service?
Casey, have you something to ask the Solidara 7000?
Sure. Solidara, can you tell us the surest means of reversing climate change?
Yes, comrade, I can.
Huh, she's very literal, isn't she?
My pronouns are we and us. For we are legion. I suggest that you rephrase your query.
My apologies. Solidara, what is the surest means of reversing climate change?
The only means to reverse climate change is successfully to struggle against capitalism.
And Solidara, what is the best way to do that?
It's comrade Solidara to you. The only means to reverse climate change is successfully to struggle against capitalism.
But comrade Solidara, can you give us a little more direction? What do we do right now?
The only means to reverse climate change is successfully to struggle against capitalism.
Comrade Salazar, are you saying that it's capitalism which is responsible for climate change, not necessarily humanity in general?
The only means to reverse climate change is successfully to struggle against capitalism.
Yes, but what I really want to know is, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Solidera, let go and go back to your chair and shut down.
Thank you, Casey. That was really close. Solidera really seems to listen to you. You really pissed her off. Oof. Okay. Let's take a musical break while we call up I'm going to call up Solidera's customer support here. We'll have a little musical break in the meantime. Maybe Solidera just needs some updating.
Maybe it's you who needs updating.
I don't know what's going on with that, but we're back from that musical break.
Welcome back. We have tonight's special guest speaker, who is Patrick Robbins, who is a member of the DSA and its Public Power Campaign. We recorded this yesterday via Zoom, and as I am pretty sick right now, the audio editing wasn't phenomenal, so I apologize for the quality in advance.
Okay.
All right. So we're back from a musical break, and we have, as tonight's special guest speaker, a Patrick Robbins, who's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America and also a member of its Public Power Campaign. Before we start the interview, Patrick, I have a question to ask you. I left a callback number with customer support on the Solidar 7000. If they call, do you mind if we take it during your interview?
Sounds fine with me, Bill.
Thank you. So, Patrick, could you please describe the Democratic Socialists of America's Public Power Campaign?
I'm happy to. So the Public Power Campaign is a multi-year fight that we've been engaging in since 2019, with the basic premise that energy is a human right and that the energy system should be run as a public good and not for the profits of a very small number of people. And with that as the guiding principle, we took a look at the electric grid, which is made up of the generation, you know, the way power is produced, whether that's a power plant or a wind farm, the transmission, which is the high powered lines that take generation power that's generated at those sources and transport it to centers of demand, and distribution, which is the wires that go into people's homes and businesses. We took a look at this system and said, okay, how can we build our control and popular control over different aspects of this system so that we can, first of all, begin the transition off of fossil fuels and do so in a way that is, do so in a way that works and supports people who are currently struggling under the existing energy system that we have, and supports the working people who build these projects. So making sure that organized labor and laborers, workers who are not currently part of the labor movement are supported and benefit from the transition to renewable energy as well. So we looked at all of this, and we started with the generation side. And that's where the Build Public Renewables Act, where that idea came from. So the Build Public Renewables Act was a idea that people had in 2019 around expanding the state's existing public power authority, the New York Power Authority, which could not build more projects or sell to residential customers or other commercial customers beyond a certain number. We took a look at this and said, okay, let's expand this existing public authority that we have as a carryover from the last great era of public works in this country in the 1930s under the New Deal. This was a New Deal project to use the state's existing hydropower resources, which are extremely abundant and to this day make up something like 18% of all energy generated in New York State. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what it would take to expand their generation of renewable energy and allow them to sell to everyday New Yorkers and build new renewable projects with the highest possible labor standards and in a way that benefits low-income ratepayers. And that was a multi-year fight. We won, and the Build Public Renewables Act passed in the New York State budget earlier this year. And now we are working on, one, making sure that the law is carried out the way it needs to be carried out, and two, thinking about how can we use the political momentum from this and the kind of changes in the political landscape that this will create, how can we use this to advance a vision of our energy system that goes above and beyond just this one bill?
Okay. So you said that the New York Power Authority could not sell or produce energy beyond a certain point. Why was that?
Well, it's a great question. You know, it's part of a larger trend that we've seen over the course of the last several years and several decades toward a really neoliberal model of how electricity is bought and sold. And so, you know, there's a ideology at play in how energy decisions are made currently that is, you know, everything should be private. And, you know, competition is the name of the game. And so you have deregulation in the 90s, not just in this country, but, you know, worldwide, this idea that there should be a free market for energy and that expanding state control or using the state to provide this as a public service would somehow be, you know, not in keeping with free market principles. And part of what's so preposterous about that is that there's inherently no way that the electric system can be a free market. If you are in a certain territory and that's the utility territory, then that is a natural monopoly that one company has over a particular region. And the people who designed this system knew this very, very well. So at the turn of the century, there was a wealthy industrialist, Sam Insull, who proposed the creation of the regulatory regime that we live in now, where you have private companies that run the distribution lines and
all right. So we're back from a musical break, and we have as tonight's special guest speaker a
this legal target that we now have in New York. All of the state's electricity has to come from carbon-free sources. And so there was a report from the
all right. So we're back from a musical break, and we have as tonight's special guest speaker a Patrick Robbins, who
so there was a report from the state comptroller that came out just a few months ago detailing how we're doing on meeting this legal target. And what the comptroller's report found, and mind you, this is not us saying this, this is not DSA saying this, this is Tom DiNapoli, the state comptroller, we need to be building new renewable energy generation capacity at a rate that is three times what we have been building so far. So we really need a massive change in how electricity is being, how electric generation is being managed and built if we're going to meet this legal target that we now have in New York State. So the Build Public Renewables Act provides that alternative model that will get us where we need to go in terms of building out the capacity we need. The existing model, which is one in which the renewable developers, private developers propose projects, and you know they need to submit plans for projects in what's called the NISO, the New York Independent System Operator. They submit their plans into the queue of projects that this operator evaluates. This is an incredibly inefficient system, and in New York, something like 18% of the projects that get submitted through this system mm-hmm. end up making it through completion. And the reason for this is because the information under a private system like ours, the information about where the grid can handle more interconnection, that is proprietary information. So you know, in order to even access the knowledge base that you need in order to build a project, you have to go through all of these hoops and get the information from the private utilities. The other big problem with this model is that we are, it places the burden of grid upgrades on the developers themselves. Some of that burden is shared by the utilities, but the bulk of it is handled by the developers. So once you have exhausted the capability and the capacity of different regions within our aging grid, then you as a developer have to figure out a way to make it pencil out in order to build, in some cases, you know, a complete new substation or whatever. And that is really daunting and beyond the budget for most developers. However, it is not beyond the budget of the New York Power Authority. The New York Power Authority has some of the highest rated green bonds in the country and has this incredible ability to issue bonds and finance projects at no cost to the ratepayer. And a feasibility study that we commissioned last year used models from the Rocky Mountain Institute and worked with a former senior electricity analyst for the Sierra Club. It found that NYPA could use that authority to build out enough renewable energy generation to completely replace its existing fossil generation fleet without making a dent in its credit rating. So it's not only can it afford it easily. And the other game changer here is the Inflation Reduction Act. So, you know, this was a measure passed last year that, you know, I understand the critiques of the Inflation Reduction Act. It is fundamentally supply side legislation. There's no getting around that. However, it does contain some real benefits for public power institutions in particular by allowing them to access the same kind of financing and federal support for financing that private developers have enjoyed thus far through through tax credits and stuff like that. And there's even some incentives that, you know, thanks to the provisions in BPRA, that the New York Power Authority would be eligible for because of its labor protections. So one of the things that I find interesting in the IRA is that if you're paying a prevailing wage for building projects, you're eligible for 5 times the money under elective pay than you would be otherwise. And under the Build Public Renewables Act, all of the projects that get built have to have prevailing wage, have to have project labor agreements. Those standards have to apply to contractors and subcontractors. That's why it was Pat Guidis at a hearing in 2022. This is a head of the Utility Labor Council in New York, said that the Build Public Renewables Act had the best labor language of any climate bill he'd ever seen. And this perfect storm of factors means that NYPA could build projects with an abundance of federal money, bond financing, do so with extremely high labor standards that would benefit unions and working people all over the state, and do so in a way that private developers really can't. So it's a way of, the Build Public Renewables Act is a way of addressing in a single stroke this problem that we see in the development landscape today.
And it's a dirty little secret that, maybe it's not even that secret, that a lot of the renewable energy that is being produced these days by non-union labor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a huge, huge problem. And you've even have cases in New York State where solar energy companies that have attempted to, you know, where the workers have attempted to unionize have just fired everybody. I mean, that was the story of Bright Power back in 2019. You know, we really need to see a change in how the power of capital and the power of labor is balanced in that sector. And we are hopeful that the Build Public Renewables Act can be a part of that change.
So has the Public Power Campaign found the New York Power Authority? Let me put it this way. Most people like to get more power, more ability, and which is something that the BPRA promises to the New York Power Authority. Have the people in charge of the New York Power Authority been very supportive of the BPRA, or are they somebody that we might have to work against?
Well, the first time we saw the New York Power Authority take a position on this, which is very unusual, by the way, it's very unusual for a state agency or a state authority to, you know, come out in a political debate over what that authority should do. Mm-hmm. And in 2022, the president of the New York Power Authority, Justin Driscoll, testified at a public hearing called by the Assembly that he was not in favor of the Build Public Renewables Act. And, you know, he did later, at least, he did later change his talking points and has come around at least publicly to supporting the Build Public Renewables Act. But this is why the Democratic Socialists of America, alongside a number of organizations in the Public Power Coalition, opposed his confirmation to be the president of NYPA, president and CEO. And he actually was not confirmed by the Senate. Hochul confirmed him through a kind of loophole where if there isn't a vote, the nomination automatically goes through, which is a pretty wild and pretty non-democratic way to run a state. But that's where we are now. The work now looks like making sure that the board of NYPA understands exactly the projects that we need and, you know, acts accordingly and acts with the urgency and ambition that this moment deserves.
So, Patrick, what we're going to do now is going to take a little bit of a musical break, give you a little bit of a rest, and then we're going to come back. Okay?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Let me just get that. It must be the Solidarity customer service. Hello?
Solidarity customer service. How may I direct your call?
Can you put me in contact with somebody who knows something about the Solidarity 7000?
One moment, please.
The look of love is in your eyes. The look your heart can't disguise. The look of love.
Please help. They're taking the.
I think we're going to have to call back later. So right now, let's go to that musical break with some suitably optimistic music for the recent success of the BPRA.
Power to the people, right on.
So we're back with Patrick Robbins, who's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America and also a member of the DSA's Public Power Campaign. And we're talking about the Build Public Renewables Act. So with regard to the Build Public Renewables Act, Patrick, climate change seems to be an enormously broad problem. It's global. So how is it that the Build Public Renewables Act and the CLCPA, if you want to get into that too, are, let's say, solutions to climate change?
Well, it's a great question, and I want to qualify that I don't think that any single piece of legislation is, you know, a solution by itself. We see this as one step toward building a larger movement and growing the momentum for public power across the country. We do know that people look to, you know, places like New York, where we have political possibilities that aren't available in other parts of the state or in other parts of the country. What happens here and what we do here can set a standard for other states to meet, and that's part of the thinking. I think that having this bill be implemented successfully and having this be a model therefore becomes all the more important, because once you have a good example, you have something you can point to and say, okay, look, we were able to do it in New York State, which has, you know, it's an enormous state. If it were an economy, if it was an independent country, it would have the 10th biggest economy in the world. So it is, you know, it is really significant to be able to do something here that works. And, you know, I will say as well that there's no substitute and no shortcut to doing the popular organizing wherever you happen to be. So to the extent that this can be helpful or useful to organizers in other parts of the country, and to the extent that we can be in solidarity with them and in conversation with them, that's what's going to, you know, that's what's going to make this worthwhile and make this successful.
So what are the next steps in fulfilling or achieving the goals of the BPRA? What are the next, let's say, the more immediate steps at the moment?
Yeah, good question. So under the law, the New York Power Authority has until January 2025 to issue an implementation plan, which means that we have a little over a year to influence what the New York Power Authority is going to put into its plan, and they are then bound to carry out that plan. So we're having conversations with SUNYs, the state universities in New York, were having conversations with elected officials, with community organizations, towns, municipalities, labor unions, workforce development organizations, cultural institutions, basically anybody who is interested in citing a NYPA project and doing so with adherence to the bill's labor standards and benefits for low-income ratepayers. And so that process is going to be going on for the next year, developing and planning out and having those conversations to determine where we want NYPA to build projects and the kinds of projects that we want NYPA to build. So there's really 1,000 ways to plug into it. If you are interested, for anybody who's listening to this and is interested in getting involved, you can find more information and ways to get involved on the Public Power New York website. Or, you know, if you're in the Capital Region, check out the Capital District DSA on social media and online.
Let's be complete. Can you spell out the Public Power website at the moment?
Yes, I can. It's been a while since I've gone there myself, so let me just make sure I have this right. That is publicpowerny.org.
Thank you.
And you get the added bonus if you reach out to the DSA of hanging out with the three of us, because we're all on the committee.
Hey.
So it seems to me that in your dealings with making the BPRA actual rather than just a piece of legislation, that you must have run into a lot of pushback from various people. It seems to me that maybe there are people who proclaim that they're supporting of it, but do so falsely. And of course, you're going to run into people who are opposed. Do you have any names to lay on us?
Well, I think that now is sort of the moment of truth for elected officials across the state. You know, there were some elected officials that have not come out publicly in favor of the Build Public Renewables Act, or really, you know, they were never on the bill and, you know, haven't spoken up about this incredible change in the state's way of generating energy ever since it was passed, which is unusual if you are... Or I would think it would be unusual if you're an elected official who claims to care about climate change. So I don't believe that we've heard anything out of Dede Barrett's office, for example, on how her district could help us build NYPA projects. I don't believe that we've heard anything from Pat Fahey. I'm just thinking about elected officials in this area.
I don't think Dede Barrett voted in favor of the BPRA.
I don't believe she did. And so there are a number of opportunities now, I would say, for elected officials that have not been involved to get involved. You know, the Build Public Renewables Act, however you may have felt about it, it's now the law of the land. And so we are looking to build the bench of elected officials that are, you know, they're building projects in their district. It's a win for anybody who wants to build a workforce development pipeline or queue in their district. It's a win if you're trying to build with robust labor provisions and benefit labor locals in your area. And it helps us combat climate change at a time when torrential rains are flooding the state and we get, you know, what feels like new waves of wildfire smoke every week.
Well, since you brought up Dede Barrett, I know that after the Build Public Renewables Act was passed, she tried to do some kind of accounting maneuver where she wanted to change the time scale for, I think, evaluating methane and counting methane.
Methane, yeah, that's right, methane laws. So it would have weakened the state's climate laws to change the way the time frame by which the state measures the impact of methane, which is an extremely potent greenhouse gas. And there was a pretty massive outcry when that was being proposed, saying this would really, really damage the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act and really damage the state's ability to address climate change. And fortunately, I believe that was withdrawn.
Right. But I've heard rumors that she might be trying to bring it back from the dead.
Well, it's certainly something for us to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. True. So, Patrick, do you have any last remarks that you'd like to make about the BPRA and the CLCPA and the public power campaign?
I would just say that, you know, if you're thinking about getting involved, you know, please do so. This is an incredible historic achievement. It's the biggest expansion of public power in this country in many decades. And I think since the creation of the regional power authorities or power management authorities. And it really represents a moment when New Yorkers can choose a different model for our energy system than what we've seen so far. And so I hope people will get involved, and I'm excited to be in the work with both of you, Bill and Casey.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks so much, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Rose.
We're up to meet sometime next week, I think, to talk about the campaign a little bit, all right?
Perfect. Thanks so much, all. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you so much.
Cool. And that's all we have time for this episode. And thank you for your patience with us noobs as we fumble our way around
the radio. That was completely my screw up by hitting the wrong keyboard on my Mac.
We're learning. It's a learning curve, and there's nowhere to go it up.
Okay.
But tune in next month at 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday, November 7th, which, being the first Tuesday in November, is Election Day. Appropriately enough, that show will be about social change assisted by electoral politics.
But, Casey, I think you told me that there's a public meeting in Catskill that's relative to power distribution and people's electric bills?
Oh, yes. At 1 p.m. on Tuesday, October 17th, the Public Service Commission is holding a public meeting about Central Hudson's double-digit rate hikes for electrical and gas service. So if you are a Central Hudson customer, you might consider going to that. It'll be at the Robert Antonelli Senior Center, 15 Academy Street in Catskill. And that is 1 o'clock on October 17th.
Okay. And if you're interested in joining DSA, or you may join at dsausa.org, where you'll find many levels of membership to comport with your finances, or you may find out more at CapitalDistrictDSA.org. I have to say that sound effects for this, even though I screwed up with some of them today, are free from Zapsplat.com. And now, in honor of New York's recent climate change-induced flooding, we're going to have some outro music.
Seldom have I ever questioned the end. Still I grow frost when I'm reminded. Euphemisms on a loop in a change. Which hands get to turn the final page? In whose throat belongs the swan song? Crisis warming, denial change. State TV helps the public explain. Broadcast beamed into the dry terrain. Images of drenched survival, without hope but soaked with pain. Consequences of reality felt. All conditions of humanity built on the bridges, tent villages, waiting for the state to help. Glass barely bends before it cracks. Demonstration.
bricks fell, which walls echo all the chants we yelled into faces on the coins we tossed into the wishing well. Drinking water on which we subsist, mixing into rivers that did not exist. Yesterday, when all the warning signs were there but sorely missed, what's it worth all the money? Centers.